This program is brought to you by Wine Access. Here's a great way to discover and drink the best wines expertly curated for you. Go to wineaccess.com/HRN for more info.
This week on Meat and Three, we continue our series on global food trade. We've covered sugar and spice. Next up, bites.
Iran has been subjected to the far and away the most severe, stringent, painful sanctions regime that has been inflicted on a country in peacetime ever.
Servers would come around with little carts or trays carrying these things, and they would cry out what they were providing. So you get hog house humai. So my young son, when he was 3 or 4 years old, referred to dim sum places as screaming places.
Tune in to Meat and Three, available wherever you get your podcasts.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues, that's him. It's gonna get you some in the end.
Welcome back to the Speakeasy. I'm Souther Teague.
And I'm Greg Benson.
Hey, Greg. How you doing, bud?
Loaded question, but I'm doing all right. We have some big doings this week. How about you? How are you, my friend?
I'm doing okay. In as much as I'm not really doing much. We got through Valentine's Day. I cooked a lot of food, as you know, and the listener knows, I'm a former chef, and we've lost all of our kitchen crew, and we were allowed to reopen this weekend to 25% indoor capacity. So we took advantage of the Valentine's being on a Sunday, and we offered a to-go package that I put together of cocktails and Prosecco and lots of food. We sold about 48 of them. People could pick them up on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday and go home and sort of finish some things in the oven and have a nice Valentine's meal. And then we did indoor service on Sunday night for 25% capacity, which just means 8 people. But I did 4 rounds of 8 people, so 32 folks got to come in and have what we called the Amore Margot Valentine's Day happy hour. It was just a 1-hour service of prefix, again, cocktails and snacks that I prepared, along with Mel, one of my bartenders. She and I in the kitchen and the bar all night. And that was fun. It was exhausting, but fun to kind of reconnect with the guest. And then we are closed now. We're not going to reopen the bar until probably April 1st. We will consider opening outdoor if the weather starts to get nicer. But as of this moment, I am not expecting to be back to work until April 1st. So at least I feel like I have a target on the calendar now. I don't feel so adrift, but still, April 1st is a long way away.
Well, yeah, and those are important, man. I mean, that's part of why I was reflecting on this a lot over the holidays, which feel alternatively like 5 years ago and last week, about how important it is to have goals and things in the calendar to look forward to and just things that help us celebrate the passage of time. And losing that, I think, is a reason why so many people feel really temporally adrift and have for the past, you know, year at this point. It's also weird to think about that we are a little over a month away from losing our second St. Patrick's Day in a row. Actually, no, scratch that. We are exactly 1 month away today from mm-hmm. the second St. Patrick's Day that we're all going to spend in lockdown, which is crazy.
Yeah. Yesterday, actually, I guess 2 days ago, would be 1 month away from the day we closed the bar. So... it's insane.
Well, how was it being back? I mean, we've all heard the news stories about, you know, airline pilots complaining that they're rusty, which is just another, which is just another horrifying fact that we're all just going to have to look at the world and be like, well, I guess that's the way it is now. But, you know, how is it for you being back behind the bar after all this time and just for one night too? Was that yeah, weird? Did it feel good?
Somewhat Herculean effort to get it accomplished. You know, to open for one night is a strange thing. To order enough product, food, you know, because I was doing food as well, food-wise especially, to order enough product to accommodate all the needs but also not have a ton left over because we don't have a follow-up service was a challenge. And, yeah, rusty is the right word. But we're glad we did it. It was effectively PR. We're so far distant from the notion of profitability at this point. This was just generating a little bit of revenue and some hopefully excitement among our crowd to know that we're still here and we're fighting and we're planning to be back. It was Herculean to get it done, and I felt it. I barely left the couch on Monday. I was exhausted.
I can imagine, man, because you have to do all the same stuff that you used to, plus new stuff that you're not used to doing, like only ordering exactly enough for one night and that's it. Like, that's got to be a whole extra number. I was never good at crunching the numbers when I managed a place anyway. So I can only imagine what trying to hit that very specific window of ordering was like.
Yeah. Some other good news for us. Talk to us about the Tasty Awards.
Tasty.
I don't even
you were close. It's the Taste Awards, but they are tasty. Yeah. So us and we're the awards are taste. We ourselves are tasty, and occasionally thirsty, but that's another podcast. I want to say we are in amazing company because I'm looking at the list of nominees now, and not only across the board, people coming in from all over the world producing really great content, getting nominated for Taste Awards this year. But a bunch of folks from in our own house, from our family, notably our friends Agave Road Trip and our, you know,
Lubank and Chava.
Exactly. Who were feed sitting for us a little bit this summer, and they were great roommates, are up for a lot of awards. The folks at Meat and Three, Grape Nation, Cooking Issues, a bunch of folks. We personally are up for Best Drink or Beverage Program, Best Single Topic Series, Best Food or Drink Podcast, and Best Filmed at Home Episodes or Film, which ironically, we found ourselves in the virtual studio and discovered that as of today, it was equipped with video. And we realized what a good thing it is that we record at home, that we don't film at home. But still, all of that aside, amazing company to be in, and a real honor to be considered and up for these awards, because one of the bright spots of this year has been producing these shows. And I always hope sincerely that if someone is, you know, in the industry and I don't want to say if they're struggling, if you're in the industry, you are struggling right now, big or small, we're all in it. And I really do hope that this little thing that we do every week can provide some laughs or necessary information or relief. And it's always nice to see that, you know, when we put it out there, there are people on the other end who are listening. And that's really the part of this that I think I appreciate the most.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm on record as having said it over and over for the past nearly 5 years I've been on the show. It's my favorite thing I do each week. I get to sit and take a moment and talk to colleagues and, idols in the field. I learn something every single time. It's my favorite thing I get to do. So to have people recognize that as something they enjoy as well, that's quite fulfilling. On that note, pal, we should probably get into it.
I was going to say, yeah, let's get into our favorite thing, where we get to talk to awesome industry leaders from all over the world. And today we are joined by Berta Gonzalez Nieves, the co-founder and CEO of Casa Dragones Tequila. Berta, thank you so, so much for joining us. How are you?
Very good, Greg and Souther. Thank you for having me. Excited to be chatting with you guys.
Oh, we're so excited to have you. So where?
And congratulations on your nominations.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
So where are you coming in from today?
I'm actually coming in from the Springs. We have a little cottage in the Springs here in Long Island. And I've been quarantining here between here, a bit in Tequila, Jalisco, and a bit in New York City.
I mean, wow. Really nice to have a little, we talked off air a little bit, a nice little escape pod to get out there to the Springs, right?
Yeah, it definitely, having the chance to be outside, it's really made a big difference, even though in this very difficult time, while we are all living in a virtual world, having the chance to, you know, interact with nature has made a difference.
Yeah, I can only imagine. I'm lucky that I have a park just a few blocks away. I've been trying to get out there at least every other day, but I try to go every day and just take a stroll around the park a few times and, you know, commune with nature. Sounds like a weird thing to say living in the city, but at least to be outside of my apartment and not inside my head all day.
So you got to commune with the nature that you have.
Yeah, the nature you've got, like bamboo twigs sticking out of bottles. no one can see that but me. So you have a lot of interesting accolades of your own. First Lady of Tequila, says the Los Angeles Times. Food and Wine says you're most innovative woman in food and drink. Like, talk to us a little bit about that. How did you get those monikers labeled on you?
How exactly, I don't know, Souther. but I'm very honored to have had those accolades and those accomplishments. And I really think that if you ask me, I think it's just through, I feel really fortunate that I have had the opportunity to dedicate myself to my passion, you know, to a subject that really took over my life and have had the opportunity to truly innovate and continue to give back to that tequila category and to our appellation of origin. And through that, I feel very proud to have gotten noticed.
Yeah, and you're a powerful voice in this category, certified as the first female maestra tequila. I'm going to butcher it. Tequilera. You could probably say it better than me. I want to know what that means. I don't even know exactly what that means. I didn't know that that was a thing for anyone, much less that you're the first female.
So, yeah, when I got my title, I didn't know that I was the first female at all. Mm-hmm. But what it means is in a maestro tequilero is a person within a house that actually is in charge of, you know, designing the product and doing all the engineering and all the production. We're two maestro tequileros in Casa Dragones. It's Benjamin Garcia and myself. He's a chemical engineer by training. And I bring more of a product development side of things. And together we've done the three products that are in the marketplace. So when I got my title, we were about to bring Joven, our first tequila, to market. And Benjamin told me, why don't you go and get, you know, see if you can get your title. And at that time, which is not that dissimilar of the time we're living now, but I really didn't have much time to do much else other than like building our company. And I even joked with him. I said, I don't even have time to call my mother, and you want me to go and apply for this particular diploma. And so he, you know, as he's not only my partner, but he's also been a very important mentor in my career. So I said yes, and I applied, and they took into consideration the 12 years that I had in the industry, and I'm very proud to have this recognition, and more importantly, more proud and more excited to have the opportunity for us to really go into our journey of expanding the tequila repertoire through really modern production and innovation to bring new tastes into the marketplace.
I love that. That's the way I'm always interested in this show. Whenever we like to introduce people by you know, introducing some of the, you know, titles that they've been given, accolades that they've won, and I always love hearing people's sort of reactions to that, you know, because titles are not nothing, you know, you have to work really hard for them, and they are something that I think, you know, there's no shame in wanting to put that on your shelf and show it off a little bit. But I love sort of your approach to it of like, okay, I've got this, you know, I am this master. I'm also going to butcher it if I try and do it, so I won't, but I have this title and now I want to use it to advance this brand that I've put so much heart and soul into. And I definitely want to talk about Casa Dragones, but I'd like to hear a little bit first about how you sort of got your journey started in the tequila world in the first place.
Of course. I was selected by the Japanese government to participate in a program in Japan in my early 20s. I was actually 22 years old around there, and it was a scholarship program. So I grew up kind of like being very entrepreneurial. I had a little different ventures here and there since I was like 14, 15 years old. And all of them were little projects that I did that I, like, you know, started and then I saw through, and that enabled me to kind of, you know, learn how to make a little bit of money of my own. And so by the time I was 22, I was selected by this program. And in order to prepare myself for the program, I had to be part of the 6-month preparation where we had to study everything about Mexican culture, our, you know, our economy, the history of our country, our cult, you know, they are, you know, even like folkloric art, like really, we needed to be really well prepared to be able to represent Mexico in these kind of round tables with people from all over the world. So as part of that training, I got invited to go to Tequila Jalisco to visit a lot of different distilleries and learn about that industry. And after the second day of being tequila, I called my parents and I said, I know what I want to do. I want to go into the tequila industry. And my parents were like, oh, God, you know, like, you know, she's the youngest of three, the only daughter. And she has so we know that if something gets into her, like there's no one that's going to like get in the middle of that. Mm-hmm. So they were a little worried. They also thought, you know, it's the flavor of the month, right? She's going to fall in love with this. And then years later, she's going to find something else. And no, the flavor of the month has lasted many, many years, more than 20 years. And, and you know, as I finished my university in Mexico and I worked a little bit in management consulting after I graduated in university in Mexico City. And then I went to do this master's degree that I was talking to Souther about in Northwestern,
Chicago,
having lived in we share a common restaurant in Davis Street Fish Market on Hinman Avenue. And I got the opportunity to go and do this master's degree. And when I graduated from there, I thought that someone would give me the opportunity to get into the tequila category. And that's how I started. I went and knocked on the doors of the industry and I had the fortune of working for the eldest tequila producer. And that's how I started my career in the industry. And it's really interesting because I have never looked back after that. It's really taken over kind of like, I feel very lucky to have found something that I can completely dedicate my career to. And there's not one day where I don't learn something new.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think that's what sort of separates I think that's what defines the entrepreneurial spirit, right? Someone who is going to continue to do what they do because they're driven by it, but also someone who's going to find something new every day in it, right? Every day you're learning something, and that's what sort of carries you on. You were sort of earlier in your career, according to the notes that I have here, you were doing more like consulting work in the tequila category, right? Creating luxury brands and et cetera. I'm certain that has played a big role in how you've branded Dragones, because this stuff, the line of bottles, just the bottles themselves, they're just gorgeous.
No, well, thank you for that. We really want to showcase this. I don't know how much of an opportunity you've had to travel to Mexico, but Mexico really is really an incredible country, and the aesthetic and the creative effervescent culture that our country has, you see it in from architecture to cuisine to cinema to art. It really, Mexico is really at the center of a lot of countries around the world, and we wanted to showcase this craftsmanship and this sophistication and this elegance of Mexico in what we're doing. But more importantly, we really wanted to start by doing that in the type of liquid that we're presenting, and then followed by our packaging. So that's really important. And yes, of course, my start in the industry, I worked for the for 10 years for the eldest tequila producer, and it really just gave me the opportunity to fall in love even further with a category, to then really develop this passion to go on my own and have the opportunity to you know, truly expand the tequila repertoire and bring very unique and different experiences for that tequila lover.
Yeah, well, it's, again, the packaging looks outstanding. It's very, like, understated. It's obviously trying to draw the eye to the liquid itself and give all the, you know, prominence to the liquid that's in the bottle. Let's take a break right here and hear from our sponsors. We're going to come back and keep talking about, we're going to start talking about Casa Dragones. So stay tuned to the Speakeasy.
Hi, this is Sam Benrubi from The Grape Nation. You may know my show is all about enlightening, inspiring, and motivating you guys to try and drink more wine. I want to tell you about a great way to discover and drink the best wine, Wine Access. Whether you're a neophyte or an expert, Wine Access makes it easy for everyone to learn about and buy the wines you like. Their team tastes over 20,000 selections per year and only curates the finest wines, exceeding expectations and over-delivering on price. Through the years, Wine Access has cultivated relationships with under-the-radar winemakers, as well as the most iconic producers. Think Opus One, Dana, Larkmead, Silver Oak, just to name a few. Discover your new favorite bottle with Wine Access. I always tell you to rely on the experts, whether it be retailers, somms, or winemakers. Wine Access has all the knowledge, connections, and stories to point you to the best wines based on your taste. Wine Access also has a great wine club. Let them do all the work so you can discover your new favorite bottles. Go to wineaccess.com/HRN. That's wineaccess.com/HRN. Check them out now.
And we are back. You were listening to The Speakeasy here on HRN, Heritage Radio Network. And today we are talking with Berta Gonzalez Nieves. And right before the break, we just got up to her striking off on her own and starting a new brand that I happen to have a very nice looking bottle of in my hand right now called Casa Dragones. So talk to us a little bit about the genesis of this idea, where it came from, sort of what got you started on this journey, and what is in this bottle that I'm uncorking right now.
Well, so I really started getting with the idea and the dream of actually having the opportunity to build my own company, my tequila company. And I know both of you right now are in Brooklyn. So I was in a party in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, where I had the opportunity to meet Bob Pittman, the founder of MTV. Big American entrepreneur.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm there, like, suddenly, can you imagine? Like, I'm there and, like, I'm speaking to the founder of MTV. And you know, he asked me, what's your background? And I give him my background in the tequila industry. I do this and that. He's like, really? Well, I've always wanted to start a tequila company. And I'm like, really? Well, I've always wanted to be an entrepreneur. And I didn't know if it was, like, party talk or not. But next day, we exchange business cards. Next day, his secretary emails me, saying, you know, Mr. Pittman can meet on these and these dates. And I put my best suit on and went to the meeting. And that was the beginning of what it's been, you know, a 12-year now partnership and relationship.
And that's amazing.
I mean, obviously, it took more than one meeting, right?
But I feel like so often the stories that we hear in our field are exactly that. You know, I was at a party, I was at a dinner, I casual conversation struck up, and here we go. You know, serendipity.
Yes, and you know, Bob really had a real understanding of Mexican culture. He spent most of his summers in San Miguel de Allende. I remember going for the first time to his house in San Miguel, and walking in and, like, really being blown away by the taste and the understanding of our culture, you know, and the love and the passion for our culture. And I think that really brought us together. Plus, his passion for the category was real. And it really, by the time we partnered, we really knew that we could actually do something really special together. And that's how we started. So, you know, I obviously wrote a business plan, presented it to his private equity firm, and we decided to partner. And he lent me, literally, in his office in I already was living in New York, and with the tequila industry, I quit my job, and he lent me an office space, a phone, and I walked in with my little BlackBerry and my notebook, and that's how we started. We started from a blank slate, with truly the vision of starting with one product, which is our Joven product, and delivering a true sipping tequila, a tequila that you could actually put to compete with other sipping spirits, and as well a tequila that actually showcased that tequila is not only a great companion to Mexican food. Tequila can also be paired with international cuisine, from Japanese cuisine to American cuisine, Italian cuisine. So we kind of, like, set a bar for ourselves of what we wanted to do. and then, you know, really started from scratch on how to actually accomplish that.
I mean, that's amazing. And that's got to be so, it's so refreshing to hear you recount this story, because there are so many, you know, tequila brands out there, which I won't name by name, but, you know, they've got some famous people behind them. And so many of them feel like cash grabs that don't really understand the culture and have a true appreciation for this spirit. And that must have been so wonderful to realize that you shared the same vision with your business partner of like, no, we don't want to, you know, create something that's going to be on the back of every bar in Brooklyn. We want to make something that's really going to showcase the best of what this spirit can be.
Yeah, I think that, you know, what was really and is truly continues to be kind of like at the medulla of what we're trying to do is that we're more excited than anyone to actually do this. So you can imagine that we are entrepreneurs and that we're going to, you know, that we agree that we're only doing one thing and one thing only, and we're going to give it our best shots. And for us, it was a dream come true to actually have the opportunity to do something in that category, meaning me and, you know, my team that has dedicated their career to the tequila industry. So we were the first ones that were the most excited about this. And to really have the chance to innovate and have the chance to, you know, to do something different. I mean, for us, like we have this little poster in our facility in Tequila Jalisco where it says, in order to create, we must forget. So we didn't want to do anything that we already knew how to do. We wanted to do something that forced us to actually do something different. And at least, you know, as entrepreneurs, what we thought is like, well, we want to have that chance to do it and to do something extraordinary and see if we can actually make a commercial venture out of it. But if we can't by any reason, then at least we actually did the best thing that we could do, that we could be proud of, that we could live with after. And that's how Casa de Aragones Joven was born.
Well, yeah, it is amazing. Let's talk a bit about the juice itself. Walk us through sort of the things that maybe you had to forget to create a product like the Joven sipping tequila.
Basically everything. What we knew where we wanted to go. We didn't know what was going to get us there. So a Joven is an overlooked style in the tequila category. You have five official classifications of tequila. You have white, rested, aged, extra aged, and Joven. So Joven, for some reason, is an overlooked style. And we, by trial and error, right, we started doing a lot of different things to see how we could actually deliver a true sipping tequila. And it's a blend of a white tequila with a three-year-old extra aged tequila. We do the blend, and at the end of the process, we actually take the color out of the extra aged tequila, which is even more risky, right? Because people assign sometimes price to color.
Right, but, and that process is called Cristalino, is that correct?
Well, not necessarily. Cristalinos, not necessarily, are Jovens, because most Cristalinos are aged tequilas that then you take the color out. So that's just a style of tequila, which is an aged tequila that, you know, that they've taken the color out, which is, they're great tequilas and people should actually try them. What's different here is that it's a Joven tequila, and the process of taking the color out does coincide with what Cristalinos do. But what's interesting here is that you're getting the marriage of the Blanco tequila with the extra aged tequila. So you're getting the floral and the citrus notes of the Blanco tequila balanced with the sweetness and the spice of the extra aged tequila. And neither one of the styles is really governing the experience, but is making this beautiful marriage that ends up being a truly unique sipping tequila.
Can I'm curious what the thought process was on removing the color, because like you said, you know, people associate brown spirits with, you know, age and higher price tag. And, you know, I have nothing but the utmost respect for the JFK strategy of we do not do these things because they are easy. We do them because they are hard. But, you know, I want to know what's the thought process behind making something like that a little bit harder for yourself. Is there something that it does to the flavor, or is it more sort of a visual thing? Like, did you want to cue the eye to something different?
So what we learned, right, because remember that we were trying to prove that tequila can actually be paired with a full-on, you know, international cuisine. So you can have, you know, and we learned that when you're trying to pair with food, with mostly savory food, the color has a lot of, you know, your eyes are kind of like the nose of your taste. Your eyes are already predetermining to your taste buds what you're going to be tasting. So by taking that color out, we learned that we had more permission to pair with food. And that was why we did it. We did it because of that particular reason, with the risk of actually making this a very difficult product to explain. But again, our dream and our vision was more about like truly expanding the repertoire with different, with truly innovation than belonging to it. So explaining what a joven tequila is and explaining what a sipping tequila is and all that is really at the heart of what we're trying to do. And we're committed to, you know, to really surprising the and expanding the options for that tequila lover.
I kind of love that. And in a way, it's almost easier if you, you know, rather than try and get people to reimagine a product they already think they know, kind of give them something totally out of left field. And then you can sort of start from scratch and build up their perceptions in a more accurate way.
Yeah. And to be quite frank with you, we, you know, when we started, you know, we also then wanted to showcase Mexican craftsmanship. So we did this beautiful, you know, lead-free crystal bottle made in a semi-automatic process in Mexico that is then individually hand-engraved by Mexican artisans with this Pepita engraving to do this kind of like an old-style decanter made modern. And so for the first 5 years, we only sold Casa Dragones Joven. We didn't know if we were going to survive as entrepreneurs. And we did learn a lot. We learned a lot about, you know, being on the streets and talking to our both on-premise and off-premise clients and really getting that reaction. And for the first 5 years, that's the only thing that we did. And that really kind of gave us the foundation as a producer of, you know, surviving for 5 years with this product was probably one of the hardest things that we've ever done. But most importantly, enabled us to really hone in and believe in what we're doing. And that has given us the ammunition to then really take our time with the next labels that we bring to market, rather than running and really, you know, trying to, you know, many producers introduce three styles when they come into market. And there's nothing wrong with that. We just could not, we really couldn't think about, we still don't understand how people actually do that. We don't criticize it, but we, in what we're trying to do, we really want to dedicate time and really our time to have the time to think, innovate, and bring something truly unique to market rather than just trying to be fast and quick.
Sure. And I feel like when you take your time with things like that, they tend to evolve and become a stronger product. And they also shape your core value and your core ethos for your company. You know, I've often said that, you know, Amore Amargo is about to turn 10 years old. If I opened Amore Amargo for the first day today, and it was exactly as it is today, I don't know that it would survive. It had to evolve over those 10 years to become what it is. Start slow and build, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And that also gives us the opportunity as producers to enjoy the process, because big part of the process is to actually enjoy what you do and be proud of what you're bringing to the table. So we love creating, and we really, that's our gasoline, you know? That's really, you know, what like, you know, wakes us up and gets us going, and we find the passion there.
Right. And I'm you know, as a former chef myself, I'm fascinated by the notion that you really gave a lot of credence to the notion, to the idea that people were going to be hopefully drinking this while eating foods of all variety. You're not just thinking to yourself, well, this will obviously grows together, goes together. This will be great with, you know, tacos on Tuesday. But will it also, you know, go well with some, I don't know, French fare or Italian food. And I think it's unique. You know, there's several spirits out there on the market that we don't really think about in that same way. I think that tequila maybe gets pigeonholed. You know, I don't think to myself, I can't drink gin with Italian food. I don't think that, you know, I'm having a Negroni. I don't think to myself, I can't drink gin with French food. I'll have a French 75. You know, but I think when people think of tequila and food, they think specifically Mexican or Spanish style cuisine, right?
Yeah, and that's part of our journey, you know, to have had the opportunity to seduce the palates of, you know, some of the more well-respected international chefs, and also Mexican chefs, you know, also mm-hmm. Mexican chefs. I think that that has been a very rewarding experience, because I think chefs are also the ultimate entrepreneurs. So I think that they were the first people to give us a chance. And the first people to say, okay, let me give it a try. Let me try it. Let me see if it really does inspire us to do something truly unique. And that interpretation of our product from their point of view, it really proves our mission, you know. And we have the opportunity to, just recently for St. Valentine's, we worked with Thomas Raquel at Le Bernardin, where she did this beautiful chocolate chibou, which I'm probably not saying it correctly, for Valentine's Day. And we've worked with Chef Enrique Olvera, you know, in Pujol, in Cosme, in Atla, you know, really doing, yes, you know, really fine, like what contemporary Mexican cuisine is. We've worked with Chef Masa on Japanese cuisine.
Oh, wow.
We've worked with Elena Regadas, who, you know, we've worked with a variety of now friends and chefs that really felt that in their, when they're doing a pairing dinner, there's a place for tequila. As well, there's a place for champagne and there's a place for wine. And we're really excited and proud of that.
I mean, and well, you should be. That's an amazing list of folks you've gotten to work with. That's very cool. Le Bernardin is one of my all-time favorite restaurants, and I've only had the occasion to be there twice. It stands out in my mind as such a great memory both times. And again, I'm truly fascinated by the drive that you have to connect this to being sort of a center table item, not just a bar item, right? This tequila can move from the bar to the table as well. So let's talk about some of the juice. I poured myself a little bit. Let's walk through a bit of a tasting.
So I know that you have Hoven with you. I don't know what Greg has.
I've got the Hoven, the Blanco, and the añejo. I've got the whole care package.
Okay, good. So we'll start with Hoven, because I know Souther has a Hoven in front of him, and we've been talking about it. And then maybe we'll jump to talk about our most recent introduction, which is our añejo.
Great.
And
I had
and
a
you
Hoven
tell me
in front
how
of me.
Are we doing with time? Because as you, okay. you know, I can talk about this.
So can gotta, we? Don't
gotta,
worry.
You gotta manage me. Okay. So the first thing that I'm going to bring to your attention on Hoven, if you like, you know, I don't know what glass you're using, but usually we use the Riedel Overture tequila glass that was developed by Mr. Riedel a long time ago when he did a trip across Mexico and realized the opportunity to, you know, to really creating a glass that showcased that complexity and the elegance of the spirit. But you can also use kind of a champagne flute or a white wine glass. A stem glass would be helpful. So you're going to notice that the tequila has impeccable clarity. And if you look at the walls of your glass, you're going to notice that the tequila has long and pronounced legs that obviously tries into a very beautiful, silky body. And when you're trying to get high grades in the spirits industry, obviously the visual characteristics and the body characteristics are very important. And you know that we're trying to showcase tequila that can compete with single malts and with whiskeys and with cognacs. So of course the body and the visual characteristics are very important. And then in terms of the aroma, you wanna smell the back of your hand to come back into a neutral place. It's a great tip for when you're trying other spirits or wines, you probably already know that. Then put your nose and transport your nose around the glass. I like to close my eyes when I'm actually focusing on aroma. And the aroma is fresh and inviting, with subtle floral and citrus aroma with notes of sweet roasted agave. And And then if this is your first sip, the first sip really enables you to prepare your palate. The second and third sip will be much more representative of what the product tastes like. And that's not particular to tequila, it's with all spirits. So let's go for, assuming you've had a couple of sips during our conversation, I'm going to jump right in.
How did you know?
You're good. Yeah, you're good at assuming.
Because I know my crew in my industry, so.
It's tough work.
It's tough work. Someone has to do it.
That's right.
So, but the taste is soft and smooth, with hints of vanilla and spiced undertones, balanced with delicate notes of pear.
Yes, I'm getting definitely that vanilla. I'm definitely getting, you know, that hand fruit, like pear, apple, and even just a little bit of a little white pepper, like way on the end of it.
I've got that. I get a hint of apricot on there too. But the thing I enjoy about the fruitiness is it's not like a big, rich, bold fruitiness like you'd get off of a brandy or something. It's there, but it's fleeting, which I imagine makes it great for what we were just talking about, pairing with food, because you get that big, rich fruit hit. But then it also, I would imagine, really kind of, you know, it leaves my palate very primed, which is why I'm on my second glass already.
and the finish is a clean, warm finish with hints of hazelnut and a bright, open aftertaste. You don't get any burn traditional to the category. And it has a very beautiful lingering permanence in your palate that we believe that this beautiful finish that's long and warm and very enjoyable is really what's inviting you to actually take your time, sip and savor. And that this is why it's called the sipping tequila, because it's a very beautiful, very complex, and also it's the product itself, really it's inviting you to enjoy the complexity and the taste that we've been able to deliver.
Yeah, it's very soft as well. At 40% or 80 proof, it's not burning my chest or throat on the way down like a standard 80 proof, say whiskey would. It's very soft as far as the proof goes. It's delightful. I see in my notes here that you designed custom barrels to age the tequila in before the blending process. Talk about that a little bit.
So we, and I'm going to tell you our most recent story about the barrel adventure.
Adventure.
Oh, God.
Here we go.
It's a positive adventure.
We're going over the Niagara Falls in a barrel.
That's what makes it so soft.
So we, on this product in particular, I'm going to talk about the Añejo just to take you on a different kind of like trip. And really honing in into what we enjoy the most is we thought that the right next step, you know, we did for 5 years our Joven, then we introduced our Blanco for our fifth anniversary. We thought that the right next step for us as a producer, everybody, you know, from our industry friends, bartenders, chefs, retailers are saying, Berta, we love your sipping tequila, but you're very strict, right? You don't let us, you know, put in a margarita. We can't serve it on the rocks. You just want it to be truly, truly a sipping spirit. And when are you going to do something that has more of the versatility of the category? And that's how our Blanco came along, which is our blue label. And Blanco's objective is to really expose the purity of our agave and of our water through an ultra-modern process. And it's great on the rocks. And we have a great adventure of doing cocktails with a lot of different very talented mixologists and bartenders. And then to celebrate our 10th anniversary, we gave ourselves the opportunity. We started really getting into studying aging. We had done it for Joven, we have new American white oak casks for our Joven, so it's a blend of two tequilas, as I mentioned. And for Añejo, we just really wanted to find a partner that actually had the patience and the curiosity to work with us. And we found this, we went and when we were able to travel, we traveled a lot in a lot of different parts of the world, getting to meet different cooperages. And we fell in love with this particular cooperage out of Bordeaux. That is a family-run cooperage that actually worked with some of the most well-known wine labels like Chateau Margaux, Chateau Petrus, and so on. and doing custom casks. And they were the ones that actually showed that true curiosity of actually working with us and really figuring out how we could actually bring something completely different to the category. And so we fell in love with this particular wood that's in the heart of Bordeaux called Cecile Oak. And that is, these forests are more than 200 years old. It's a type of wood that is much less perfumed than the traditional French Limousine. And we also fell in love with this particular American oak out of Missouri and Pennsylvania. So we did two different types of custom-made casks to age our tequila in. And the whole idea was to let the tequila push through the wood rather than the wood pushing into the tequila. We still wanted to preserve some of the most floral and herbaceous notes of the tequila and then caressed by the wood to deliver Casa Dragones Añejo. And that's why I call it an adventure. It's really like for small producers, most everybody in the category is using a lot of American whiskey casks or bourbon casks. There's a big tradition there. And there's great tradition there. There's great flavors to be developed there. But we really wanted to go into an area of innovation and kind of an unknown territory. And that's kind of like, you know, really tells you a bit about our Añejo tequila.
Yeah, I mean, that is quite an adventure. you know, I'm always fascinated by cooperage and barreling because of what they do to the spirits and wines, and fortified wines that sit in them. That's a fascinating story. And I have to assume no one else has done anything like that in the tequila market. Is that true?
Well, not this particular type of wood. And when you actually, the product, the most important result is the actual product that really, we think that there's great producers doing great Añejo tequilas, and our intent is to expand our repertoire. We believe that consumers today interact with categories very different than other generations, where people pride themselves in discovery and pride themselves in having a selection of spirits that they love and adore, whether they love Reposado or Añejo or Blanco tequilas. For us, it's all about really bringing a different taste profile that they can actually are able to accomplish that.
Yeah. I mean, I love that whole philosophy of, you know, we won't do something if we're just going to do the same thing that somebody else has already done. We're only going to do something if we can do something new and put our own stamp on it that's never been done before. I think that's super cool.
Right, with this sort of caveat that we're also not going to do anything that just because we can doesn't mean we should. We're not just going to do things to do them. We're going to do them with the result in mind, and that result being excellence.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's really our motivation.
It shows. I mean, this is delicious tequila that I'm drinking on. The bottle is extremely handsome. The packaging is gorgeous. Like, it seems that you've really given a good bit of credence to each step in the process.
Yeah, I think each label, you know, really deserves a life of its own and a journey of its own. And we want to make sure that, you know, we don't become like a one label company. We really want to make sure that every single label we bring truly has an objective and has the opportunity to really have longevity in the marketplace.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know if I mentioned it on air, but we were talking a little bit off air. I'm going to be part of a new project here in the East Village, again, in April. We're going to be opening Eteria, which is going to be our sort of mezcal tequila spot. So I'll be stocking up on this stuff for sure.
I look forward to it.
Yeah, and showing it off to people. And since you are pretty local, I'm going to certainly get you in there to do some events and talk to our guests and staff alike about your passion and the product that you're bringing to the shelves, because it's really delicious and gorgeous, and super excited to be sipping on it right now and maybe making some drinks with it in the future and pairing
well,
it with food.
I would be very excited for the invitation. Yeah. I can't wait for that time. Yeah. Where we can all get together.
Bertha, we're all itching for that time. And speaking of time, we're running out of it. It's been very lovely having you on. Thanks so much for giving up some of your day to talk with us. Does Dragones have an Instagram or social media that you'd like to get people to follow?
We have our Instagram, which is @CasaDragones, super simple. You can also, if you wanna, you can send us messages there. I also have my own, which is @BertaGonzalezN, which is a little bit more complicated, but anyways, you can just communicate with CasaDragones. I just wanna say something important. We have a important bartender program that's called the Bartender Exchange Program that was born during this crisis, and we have, which we're really, you know, excited. It's all about grants for creating content for bartenders across Mexico and the U.S. And we had great results. We really wanted to do something for our community, and we continue to be committed to doing this within our own means. We're trying to make sure that we're providing grants for bartenders. So we're relaunching our bartender exchange program. So if you are interested, please communicate with us at either @CasaDragones.com, in our Instagram page or Facebook, or you can email us at community@CasaDragones.com if you're interested in participating.
Outstanding. Well, and when you say exchange, you're taking bartenders or their ideas and moving them from bar to bar, or?
So the idea is that we do jamming sessions, mm-hmm. and bartenders actually participating in this. We did this program last time with 200 bartenders, and the idea is about cross Mexico US exchange. And so people, you know, participate first on submitting, posting on their own Instagram page and getting a payment for that. And then that actually becomes part of a competition, that the competition ends on getting a residency in San Miguel de Allende, both a Mexican bartender and American bartender to participate in this. So it's a great program, and we really believe in the power of community. And we know the importance that it is right now for us to stick together. And that's the nature of this program. So if anyone of our industry is interested in participating, please email us. We're relaunching it in March.
Wow, outstanding. We'll definitely get that in the show notes as well. So people can participate build community. That's in dire need of rebuilding right now after this long in the pandemic. Get a little friendly competition going. I love that stuff. That's great. Well, again, thank you so much for joining us, Berta from Casa Dragones, spending your time with us and educating us on a lot of stuff. And, of course, getting some tequila in our hands and across our lips. Really delicious stuff. I can't wait to put it on the back bar at the Teteria and make some drinks with it. That's all I've got. Greg, you got anything else today?
No, I just wanted to take a moment while we have Bertha here to wish everybody a preemptive on Monday. Happy National Margarita Day, everyone.
Well, how timely.
I like know, we, right?
It's almost like we planned it.
Yeah, we have a lot of exciting stuff coming on our Instagram page, so please follow us. But more importantly, I want to thank you, Greg and Souther, for inviting me and for the work that you do for the industry. It really brings a lot of meaning to what we all do, so thank you. And I'm so excited for you guys with all the awards, and I really look forward to staying in touch.
Thank you so much. That is so nice.
Yeah, very sweet of you. Thank you so much. Well, that's it for this week's episode of The Speakeasy. Tune in to Heritage Radio Network for many more shows just like this one. Cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
Cheers.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues that sin. It's gonna get you some in the end.
The Speakeasy is powered by Simplecast.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to learn more about our 10-year anniversary celebration happening all year long, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter @heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork.
Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows that you like. Tell your friends. And please, join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.